This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinirao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Malola Lee and welcome to Neesian Footy Fridays, the best place to keep across our incredible Pacifica athletes in the Rugby League and Rugby Union Worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and next to me on the desk each and every week is the Cook Island Prime Minister in waiting. Yes, he is. Tinirao Arona T, the PM.
Kia ora, you, Sammy. Friend? How's your trip in Samoa, mate?
Oh, unreal. Unreal. It's beautiful place. Can't wait to share with Culture Shock what I've got for you. You'll love this one.
Yes, on Culture Shock you'll be sharing something you learned in Samoa.
Yep. It
feels like you've been there for a long time. It's been a long week. On the show today, we'll also have Sala Tonga Tuki, 2 weeks till her origin decider. She's also just started a preseason with the Tigers, so we'll get the update on all that. And also Totai Kefu, our Super Rugby man, he'll be sharing a bit about the finals series and what's to come. So let's get into the show.
Kia ora, my name is Kiana Takarangi and you are listening to Neesian Footy.
Yes, as usual, we start the show with the biggest news of the week since Neesian Footy Monday. We'll start with Rugby League T, the game last night, seesaw event, that one.
Nah, we won't be starting with the game last night.
What have you got for us?
We're going with the King's birthday on Monday because we weren't in on Monday.
That's right.
We missed the Bulldogs versus Eels game.
Yes.
The Bulldogs winning this one 22-18 over the Eels. Just want to give a quick shout out to the Samoan skipper, Stephen Crichton. He was unreal in this game. Just the way that he led the boys, you can tell that he gets the boys' attention. He knows how to win games. He also plays in the right centre, and he finished the game with 2 line breaks, 1 try assist, and 2 tries for himself.
Just on Stephen Crichton in Samoa, I was actually at his village and got to interview his grandmother and his uncle. They're from the island of Savai. Man, I can see where he gets his talents from.
What's his grandmother's name?
You got me.
Goldfish memory, mate.
Mate.
Play Stephen Crichton's try.
Running at man, then away to Sexton, plays out the back to Tracy. Tracy splits him over the 10, steps in field away from Arcee, got the pass back to Stephen Crichton. Swan dive, try. Stephen Crichton is over for the Bulldogs, his second. Will they allow it? 12 minutes to go.
I couldn't be more off you right now. Why would you do that? You know I'm not good with names. It's just Stephen Crichton's grandma, that's what I called her. Grandma.
But geez, the Bulldogs are starting to find some form.
Up the Dogs.
In round 14. Yes. So that was to wrap up the round 14 in the NRL. Now on to last night's game. Round 15 to kick us off was the Sharks versus the Dolphins in Cronulla. Now, being an ex-Sharky myself, I was thinking, geez, we're in for a big one because after 24 minutes,
it was
22-0 to the Dolphins. It looks like the boys, I was just thinking, man, felt sorry for Fitzy, the head coach for the Sharks. There was an image of him up in the coach's box, and he just looked like he was having a shocker of a day when they were down, 22-0. But I thought Isaiah Katoa, your cousin, and Cody Nikarima, the way that they link up. So Isaiah, he gets that first pass, holds the middle, sweeps it out the back to Cody, and then Cody finishes off with the right pass to score a few of them tries. But the impact of the Sharks bench, in particular, our good friend Royce Hunt coming on and just changing the momentum of the game in swing for the Cronulla Sharks. Just his big frame, his big body, but the way that he carries with intent, tries to run through the line. Poor Isaiah, spotted him up a couple of times and put him on his back, but he came straight onto the field and also scored a try.
Then out the back, Raymond, quick hands away to Katoa. Siani Katoa steps in field, Tapuapito nails him. 7 metres out, last tackle now for the Shark. Oh, he gave it away, 6 again on the last play, Tapuapito. Comes left now to Hazelton. So that's the first set restart for either side, and it gives the Sharks to get some bite back into their game here. Brayley goes left to Hines, then short ball away, Royce Hunt, pass 1-2 over to score. Momentum, as we discussed with Adam Elliott, can change very, very quickly.
We've had Royce Hunt on our show here on Nijan Footy. And remember, you can hear that episode and all our other episodes wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, Royce Hunty, the prankster.
Yeah, I think definitely Royce Hunt in this game changed the momentum of the and then end up bringing the Sharks to the lead. So Cronulla Sharks end up taking the lead up by 6. But then in the 57th minute, so the hammer, Hamiso Tabuai-Fido, playing at fullback, he hadn't really injected himself into this game or hadn't done much up until this moment. Everyone had been waiting, you know, when's the hammer going to come into this game and play a role? And he just flipped this whole game on its head. Here's the audio.
Last tackle, Sharks who lead 24-22. Comes right to Hines, the kick from 39 out. Straight down the throat of Tabuai-Fido. He catches it, then tries to run away from Trindle. Beats him, then past Talakine, one other. He's over the 20, he's over the 30. Beat Mulitalo. Can it hit a beat? The hammer's away over the 40, the 30. He gets to the 20. Kennedy misses him. Oh my goodness me! It's hammer time! Hammer so Tabuai-Fido goes 98. Dolphins back in front. What an effort. He must have beaten 6. And he returned the favour on Will Kennedy. That is brilliant. That is fun. He is one of the great players to watch in rugby league. 18 minutes, 30 gone, second half. Dolphins 26, Cronulla 24. Try to hammer so Tabuai-Fido. What an effort.
And that is why he is playing for Queensland and scored 3 tries in the last Origin game.
He ran backwards a couple of metres before he went forwards to score that. That was outstanding work from him.
It was unbelievable. He ended up finishing the game with the most metres, 253 in total, and 10 tackle breaks. I'm pretty sure he broke about 8 tackles in that one carry as well. But it wasn't over for the Sharks. So last play of the game, they do a long shift from left to right. Brendan Nikota, he finds a hole, runs straight through that hole, passes to Sione Katoa, and Sione scores in the right corner to give them a chance of evening the game. They were down 30-28. Nico Hines had a shot from the sideline to try and, you know, even up, take us into overtime, but unfortunately he missed the target, went, sprayed it to the right, hit the ball nicely, but just, yeah, missed the target. And yeah, the Dolphins come away with the win in Cronulla to kick off round 15, 30-28.
Isn't their first win in Sydney, the Dolphins?
The Dolphins, yeah. Apparently, yeah, that's what the commentator was saying.
That's what you get for...
What was Critter's grandma's name?
Yes.
In other news, Samoan Sienna Lofipo, she will miss the Women's State of Origin Game 3 after a PCL injury in Game 2. Sorry to hear, and I hope she, you know, recovers well and gets ready for the NRLW season for the Titans. And then there are also rumours going around that the Perth, what's the Perth team, what are they called? Perth.
Back in the day?
Yeah.
The Western Reds.
Perth Western Reds. Has overtaken PNG as the likely next NRL team to join the comp as the 18th team.
It could happen.
Yes,
times.
Remember, you can hear every NRL game, including State of Origin, live on ABC Radio Australia. Off to rugby. What do you got for us, Sammy?
Beautiful tea. That was a good wrap-up of rugby league. Looking forward to this week's games. Yep.
Should we start with Carter Gordon signing with the Titans?
Oh, if we have to, yeah. That's the only way rugby get in the headlines. When something goes bad. Oh my goodness, yes, Carter Gordon, Melbourne Rebels, fly half. He has played for the Wallabies, went to the World Cup last year with the Wallabies, plays in the number 10 position.
But this opens the space for a young up-and-coming player?
Yeah, Noah Lolasio, Samoan Nguyen, Australian. He's been in that 10 position before for the Wallabies. He's been there with the Brumbies. It'll be a good opportunity for him tonight when he plays against the Blues in their semi-final game. But it's looking more likely that he will take that position because he's extended for another year. And after him, there's not really that much depth in the fly half position. I think for Australian rugby, if we look in the past, we've always had to rely on bringing players back from overseas, you know, some experienced players. But
Quade Cooper.
Quade gets thrown around. Bernard Foley, Matt Giddo, when they brought him back, But now all those players are well over like 35, 36. Matt Giddo's still playing in America. He's 40. So I don't think they'll be bringing any of those players back. So
currently Bill.
KB, but he'll probably play 15. He had a good season with the Western Force. So it's an interesting one. And hopefully for Lolo, he goes really well. Like I think his first year is when he got thrown into the mix with the Wallabies. Didn't handle the pressure quite as well. But he's matured, especially that stint overseas when he went to Toulon and having Stephen Larkin back at the Brumbies. He's a much settled player. I think he understands, you know, when he's playing on the back foot, knows how to use his kicking game as an option. When they're on the front foot, he knows how to run the ball and put other players in holes. So there's plenty of opportunity there for him. But yeah, Carter Gordon, that's a big loss for Australian rugby. Hopefully we can see some light at the end of the tunnel somewhere soon over here. But yeah, it'll be good news for Lolo Noisil.
There's light, mate. There is light.
There's always light. It's faint. But also in other news, we're going to go to, obviously there's no Fijian Drua, no Moana Pacifica in the finals series this weekend, but they both had their awards night. So we saw with the Drua, Vode Vode, he won the men's rookie of the year. He was the second rower there. Do you remember watching him come off the bus? You go, mate, look at the size of that
tall,
guy.
Tall, big fella, yeah.
Yeah, mate, he was outstanding. For the women's rookie of the year, no surprise there, was Buna. Amount of tries that she scored from 100 metres out, bit like the hammer. Like that was her just weaving through defence, especially that one in Suva. Mate, that's great to see that she got rookie of the year. Korovata was the women's player of the year, and Masi was player of the year for the men. So some really good accolades there for those players who were deserved winners. Mick Byrne also said the Flying Fijians team to play the Barbars will be mostly Drua players since the Europe players are still wrapping up over there in Clubland, and they'll have their time off after their last games over there. So there'll be good news for them. That's a big game for the Fijians playing against the Barbars.
When's that game played?
That is in 2 weeks' time over at Twickenham. In England.
Oh,
so yeah, so they'll get to fly over there. If the Drua had made the grand final, it would have clashed with that game for Mick Byrne. So there was a plan in place. If the Drua had have gone all the way, what Mick Byrne would have done, would he have stayed for the GF, or would he have had to be coach for the Flying Fijians in Twickenham? But lucky he didn't have to make that decision.
What was the plan?
They didn't want to say it. They didn't want to say it until it actually happened. Oh, I should also mention on the awards, forgot the Moana Pacifica, Lotu Anisi was the best forward and best player of the year, and Julian Savea was the best back.
The bus.
But the rumour mill, you know, I've got something for you, T.
You've always got something for me, mate. What do you got for me today?
Well, we did actually announce this early in the year that I said I did hear somewhere along that Mark Nawanganitawasi would go to the Olympics and play for the Aussie Sevens team. Looks like that's coming to fruition. But yeah, Moana Pacifica is also probably signing a Tongan fly half. But we'll get into that at another time.
Well done, Sammy. That was good. Plenty more rugby chat when we get to Totai. But let's get to our first expert of the show, the one and only Sala Tongatuki.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Yes, we have our Fetu Samoan, New South Wales origin and NRLW superstar, Sala Tongatuki. How are you, Sala? How's everything going?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me back on ET. Yeah, everything's going great. Body is still quite sore from the game, but yeah, just trying to, you know, find that balance and recover as best as I can. So yeah, all good.
We're going into Origin Game 3 in a couple weeks' time. How much, you know, during your day do you actually, is it in the back of your mind, how much time do you actually think about this game coming up?
To be honest, I haven't actually, like, thought about the game yet. I guess being back at NRW level and missing out on week one of preseason, it's given me probably the opportunity to be distracted from origin duties. I've enjoyed getting to know the new faces in our team and our new assistant coach, who happens to be from Queensland and is currently on his way back to Queensland to coach the under 19 girls origin. So pretty hectic.
Who's that?
Mitch Sargent. We call him Sarge. So yeah, we picked him up as our assistant coach, and we're so lucky. Just in the span of less than a week, I've been back I've literally, like, it's helped build my craft and that with my defence, because he's purely all about that hard work kind of thing in defence. Just pretty something pretty cool about him. Every conditioning block we've done, and when that's group rotations, he does it with us, and he does it with the level one group, which is our most fit group. So pretty.
I love it. When's the next time the New South Wales girls are getting together? When does camp start?
We've actually decided to, so normally in between, like when we go back to our club level, we just sort of do one or two sessions together. But they've actually, obviously it's a bigger game, being a decider. So we're not getting together until we fly out on Thursday next week. So I think they just wanted us to just, you know, sort of be a bit selfish and allow the body to heal a bit. So then we're, once we get into camp, we're sort of fresh and ready to get back to work. So yeah.
No, it makes sense.
We don't get back together till next Thursday.
And on to preseason. So do the Origin girls, do they have a different kind of training schedule? Is it modified, or are you doing everything that all the other girls are doing as well?
I think everyone's sort of just been given the option to either, you can stay on the Origin program and be monitored in that sense, but obviously most of us have probably just gone back to our own NRW club and just, you know, just filtered in with the girls program. So I'm pretty sure everyone's smart enough to know how to load, to manage their load, and yep. We've been given a set target of how much K's we should be getting into the league, so then we're not too fatigued and carrying that fatigue into camp for Origin game 3. So yeah, just being smart. And
I'm pretty sure, like, no, it does. I know, you know, you girls know how to prepare for these big games, and, you know, whether you're training with your club team or the Origin team, I'm sure that you're doing all the right things. Moving on to your Tigers preseason, how's that been? I've seen a photo of you girls, and your team actually looks pretty stacked. I won't mention your toes that were in the photo, but...
Oh, but you did. Chat gets put on.
Leave the Samoan toes of mine, mate.
No, but in terms of your squad, they look pretty stacked. Everyone looked happy. What are your thoughts?
So I reckon, like, we've got a cool-ass group this season. And so far, so good. Like, I've heard good things, you know, about them as a whole. So that was easy for me and Kezzy to come back from Origin and sort of, you know, filter in all those girls. But yeah, as soon as we got out of camp, we actually went straight into an overnight camp again with the team. And we just sort of dive down into our team values. I think every team would know that's really important for a group as a collective. So yeah, that was good for us to get that nailed down early. And then we had our first session of them on Monday. Everyone's looking really fit. This season, probably more physical fit than last season. I can even tell that I'm grateful that we've kept, you know, all our debutantes and, you know, fresh faces from last season this year. That you can just see the confidence having that one NRW season under their belt and experience. It's helped taking them to that next level. And I'm so proud of those girls who've just, you know, just stepped into that leadership shoe when me and Kezzy were absent and helping Bo Teal out. So yeah, but it was just a cool session on Monday. We, probably going a bit beyond this, but we did like a members day session for our members, and what that looked like for us was just one field, the main field, and we split it with the NRL team, and we're thankful to the football department that they actually allowed this to go through, because obviously they've got a bigger season ahead and a lot of things to fix with how they're traveling. But yeah, that sort of made our fans day and had some cool ass stalls and did some signing. I guess just give back to our members in that sense. So yeah, we're cool. Looking really connected. That's all I can say. So yeah. I'm excited.
No, look, that's cool. That's it. The club's bringing you together, and the fans get the best of both worlds. One thing I did realise when I seen the photo of you girls is there are a lot of Nijin players, you know, representatives in your team. Who are some players or one or two players that you're looking forward to seeing in the Tigers jersey?
I'm definitely looking forward to, I'm not being biased, everyone knows I'm quite close with Lasana Lutu. Bucky, we call her as, and she's our 5'8" for this season, or obviously in contention with our other halves. But, man, she was just so unlucky. Everyone sort of seen a glimpse of her last season in the first two rounds, and then obviously injury just got the best of her. But mentally and physically, she's handled herself really well over the last couple of months, and she's just looking really sharp. Obviously, being under Noddy's wing, Brett Camorley, he's even been complimenting her how impressed he's been with her. And she's so young, like she's only 20, and like I said, we've only seen a glimpse of what she can do. And she only came off the bench, and she changed the whole game in those first two rounds for us. Just her skills, her confidence. Obviously, this year she's gone a lot more. She's become a lot more confident with us girls, which has allowed her to, you know, connect with our new girls as well. So, yeah, I guess whoever obviously gets those jerseys and gets to play next to Bucky, they're very lucky. I feel very lucky, and I'm saying this as one of the older heads in the group. So, yeah, she's definitely one to look out for as one of our young girls.
So, sorry, Sala.
A player.
What nationality is she? Oh, what's her cultural background?
She's Fijian.
Oh, Fiji. Oh, yes. Is she the one with the, like, afro hair?
Is that the one? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is her. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, you would have seen her, Sammy, when you've come in a couple of times.
Yeah, yeah.
She's shy, but, like, honestly,
she played in the aqua rugby. Yeah.
No, she's a big fan of you guys. Like, she'll look at you from afar, and she looks like she's, you know, obviously just blunt and just a bit shy. But she's actually low-key, like, oh, my gosh, like, fangirling. She's so funny. I'm like, why don't you just go up to them? Just, you know, say what you – and she'll be like, oh, no, just, you know, keep it cool. And I'm like, oh, righto, like, sweet. If you want to say that.
Sweet, we have she's one so fan funny. Out there. Perfect. Whoa. Love it.
I'm sure you we'll do, go Sam. Together on Nation Footy.
Oh, yes. Sorry, T. Yeah, sorry, yes, I got too on. Into it.
No, we're getting her on
Nation Footy. No, she's going to join us. She's going to be our guest. Yes.
She'll be one of our
guests.
But
sorry, can I also say one more player that I?
Of course, really, you can. The floor is yours.
Leanne Tafunga. She obviously, like, she. I don't know. I don't know if anyone notices, but her 1%ers in that for me, like, they stand out. And she did a couple of those in at our time together at the Roosters in that grand final on the side of Jess Sergis. And she actually went and played in the BMD for Clydesdales, and she topped the run meters, post-contact meters. And for tackle breaks, I'm pretty sure in a nine-week competition, she managed to do 77 tackle breaks.
What? Sorry?
In just 9 weeks. 77 tackle breaks in just 9 weeks. I'm not even lying. She's a freak. She's explosive. And I think just being around the likes of, you know, Ali Brigginshaw, Steph Hancock, just players that are, like, you know, really, really experienced people. And, you know, they've probably helped her a lot with her time playing in the BMD. So I'm glad she's come back to the Tigers, and she's utilising that really well in our preseason sessions. I see it, and she's too humble to notice and say anything, so I thought I'd just give her that shout out, and I'm excited to see her for when we kick off.
So on average, it was about 8 tackles a game. I was just doing my maths. Unreal.
That's pretty big, hey?
Good work, T. Yeah, what's with you and math problems today? You wanna...
Yeah, he's back again, guys.
He's back again.
The brain is ticking.
It's ticking.
Well, moving on to this weekend's round 15 NRL. What two games are you looking forward to watching, and what players are you wanting to highlight here on Nation Footy Fridays?
I love chatting on this one, but the West Tigers and the Titans game. I'm excited for that one. The Titans are eager to bounce back from their recent loss. And obviously losses. The Tigers, we're aiming to end our losing streak. I reckon this match promises an exciting encounter between the two teams seeking redemption. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but the back five for Titans, they're all Polynesian heritage players representing again. That's pretty special. We touched on this in the start, I believe. But, yeah, I'm probably keen on Solomona Fatape for the Tigers. He's coming off the bench. And he's only ever played centre, and his last game was in round 6 in that position. So, obviously, this I'm probably more keen to see his impact possibly in a prop position. I'm not sure. I think those, like, obviously Dream is special in what he does, but just he's got something of the Leichhardt Oval. Obviously he scored 3 tries in 2 games, and I think this is probably like a big boost for him to, obviously he's young and he's going up against someone who's also young. So I reckon them two will sort of, you know, see who's better, like out battle each other. So I'm looking for a big game and, you know, expecting one from Jury in this sense. But also just Brian Kelly and Justin Olam.
When you look at this Tigers team, they look stacked. You know, they shouldn't be in a position where they are now just because of the names. You know, the players they do have, Jareem Buller, Api Korosawa, Stefano Otoikamanu, Alex Twelves coming back this game as well. Yeah, I think for Noapole, he's been playing some good footy as well. But then on the other end, you know, with the Titans, I really like the way that Kalise Huss has been playing, the brother of Payne Huss, in the middle, just doing all the dirty work, cleaning up tackles. He's been, you know, doing those one percenters that sort of hold the team together. So should be a really good battle this weekend.
Well, like obviously you got Moyaki Futoika. He's probably gone up against Stefano Itoikamanu. I'm probably expecting powerful, obviously, runs from both props. And I think, obviously, they're both Origin representatives. So I'd love to see them two go head-to-head and, you know, battle it out in the middles. And I'm keen to see what Uppy's also got to deliver in that halfback jersey with, you know, Aiden Caesar being back from suspension. So it's definitely a stacked team on paper. I just know that it's also hard to also find that, like, motivation to, you know, keep on, like, trying to go one better. Obviously, they haven't had it their way the last 9 games, but I've got full faith that they'll probably come out on top with this game.
So you're tipping the Tigers after all that?
I am definitely tipping them.
Thank you. I am going the Tigers for my tipping.
Like, I think everyone here is probably pushing for an Origins. Like, this is, you've got David Fifita in that back row, who's also going up against someone who's young and Samuel Lafainu. I've enjoyed seeing him play in that position, and that's his original position. So when he went to, obviously, his under-19s Origin game, he was obviously challenged to play in the middles and that, but he's taken that on really professional, I reckon. And going up against someone like David Fifita, you're going to want to have a big game and prove yourself there. And he's young, and there's so much in, like, years to come. Like, I reckon he's probably the next Ha'umole Olukuatu. Like, definitely he's such a good kid, I reckon. So, yeah,
it's going to be a big battle. And just quickly before we wrap it up, next game and one player, who are you looking forward to?
The Eels and the Sydney Roosters game. I'm looking forward to Junior Ponga in the back line there for Sydney Roosters. He's just signed, like, obviously an extension, like a deal again with the Roosters, and you've got the likes of Joey Marnie and Swali'i Nat leaving next season. So to have them re-sign him, that's promising, you know, talent. And I think I've always rated him as a player, even before he came into the NRL. Yeah, and I know him on a personal level as well. So his own missus in our team, she said all good things and that, how positive it is now to sort of, you know, have that contract extension, and it's, you know, given him a lot more, like, I guess, pushing that to just, you know, want to go one better. So I'm expecting a big game for him, and probably up against Mike Acebo, the Parramatta Eels. Those are probably my two lookout players for that game.
That's unreal. So, congratulations to Junior Ponga, who signed a 2-year extension at the Sydney Roosters as well. You know, he was going to see Joseph Suoli'i move on to rugby union, so it's good to see that the Roosters have faith in this young man, and great work to Junior. Another huge round of NRL in round 15. Thank you again, Salah, for joining us here on Nation Footy Fridays, and I'm looking forward to our chat next week.
Thank you so much for that. Hopefully those insights helped you pick your team.
Yeah, up the Tigers. Up the Tigers at Leichhardt. We're on.
Come on, beautiful. Tigers.
Culture Shock.
This is our segment where we learn about our fellow Pacific Islands. Sarah told us about the history of cannibalism last week, Sammy, in Fiji. And I thought since you went to Samoa, done some work for that Pacific sports show over the last week, the least you can do is bring back some facts for us. Last time you went to Fiji, you brought me a hat. This week, or this time, you're bringing me some culture shock news.
Oh, I wish I had something for you, T. Sorry, mate, nothing for you this time, but I will for my next trip because I'm off to Marshall Islands on Tuesday. So I'll bring you something back.
You're good, mate.
Yes, and I'll bring you back a fun fact about that beautiful island that I can't wait for the Micronesia Games. Anyway,
actually, just before we go, yeah. I enjoyed seeing some of the photos of you over in Samoa, and especially the one where you're climbing the ladder, pretty much hugging the ladder halfway up, terrified in your face. Are you scared of heights, mate?
Two of my fears got exposed over in Samoa. Getting up and dancing in front of, like, the, you know, the island dance, you get pulled up from the floor shows.
Oh, yeah, the Around the World.
Yeah, so I knew I was getting stitched up by our driver over there. Shout out to Christian Brown. I just hear, oh, is there Sam from the APC here? Sam from the APC. It's ABC, but can you come up here? And I went up there, me and Tani, one of the other producers,
yeah.
Got caught up, about 10 of us, and as they were talking, stepped off the stage, ran up the back, jumped
so
the
didn't
wall.
Dance.
Nah, no way.
Disrespectful.
Nah.
So, what kind of dance was it? Slap dance, Siva?
Oh, I've got no idea. Didn't wait, hang around for it.
Shake the legs.
Yeah, it would have been all of it. So I just ran at the back. See you later. And heights. I think it's...
heights is your other fear.
Yeah, heights is my other. Is it Tosua? The waterhole. The beautiful waterhole there. You see it all the photos on Instagram. It's a beautiful. I'm going to go swimming there. From a distance, doesn't look that steep, that ladder. Get up up above that ladder. It's like, oh, my goodness. That is steep. And it's just a free fall. Like, the ladder, it's, I don't know.
There's no handrails.
No handrails. So I'm hugging that thing. Like, I'm really hugging that thing, like, for dear life. And I wanted to go back up. I was like, no, I can't do it. But there was a line.
Coming down.
Four-year-old girl waiting to go, hurry up.
So you can't come back up. You have to go down.
I have to go down there. But anyway, but speaking of that little area there, this is where
the culture shock?
This is my culture shock bit. There's a little like beach resort there called Saletonga over there. So it's on the southeast coast of Upolu, the main island. The translation for Saletonga is no Tongans allowed. Genuine. I had to fact check this a couple of times. So I didn't know this, but Tonga had control over Samoa for about 300 years. And in the year 2050 AD, Samoa attacked the Tongans on their land to take back their island. And it happened along that coastline. So apparently when the Tongans retreated, they ran back towards that village there and the people said, Saletonga. No
wow.
Tongans allowed.
250 AD, did you say? 2050.
Did I say no?
250 AD.
1250 AD.
Oh. So
I can't read.
773 years exactly ago.
Oh yeah, something like that.
Control over that area or just
all of Samoa over Samoa in that. But when we drove past it, got told. That's what the meaning was, and you know what I did?
You reversed.
Nah, I just kept driving and kept the rules. Fair enough. You do you. But that's my culture shock. You like that one?
Very good, very good.
Let's get to the great man, Tōtai Kefu.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Kefu! Tōtai Kefu!
With Tōtai Kefu.
Joining us every week to chat all things Rugby Union is the Wallaby Queensland Reds legend and Ikaletahi former coach Tōtai Kefu. Kefs, welcome to the show, mates. What's been happening?
Oh, just surviving the cold winters here in Brisbane, mate. You know, 25 degrees. It's quite chilly in the morning.
So let's go. First thing, Rugby Union, Carter Gordon. He's off to the Titans, off to Rugby League for 2 years. And that leaves us with not many 5-8s left in Australia and probably left up to Noel Olesio, Samoan, Niuean, Australian player. What's your thoughts there, Kefs? He's had some time in France over in Toulon. Bernie Larkham has seemed to have him firing. Do you think he's the player to take the job?
Yeah, I think he's been outstanding this year. You know, he's also had an interesting journey. You know, he was the first picked at one stage, dropped out. And I think that's been really good for him, really matured him, really seasoned him up. And he's been outstanding for the Brumbies this year. Yeah, I definitely think he'll be the first cab off the rank for the Wallabies.
Yeah, that leads us straight into his side playing against the Blues in Super Rugby in the semi-finals. Brumbies last played the Blues in round 9, got a hiding 46-7 over at Eden Park. Aussie teams are 0-17 on Kiwi soil during Super Rugby finals. Kev, what's the secret over there? How do we get the job done? Something.
Oh, look, first of all, you got to change that mindset, you know, disregard all that history stuff. And there is a bit of history between the Blues and the Brumbies over the years playing finals football. Look, and that round 7 whitewash, look, that's not the Brumbies. We know that. And we know what the Brumbies are like at home. So, look, I think the Blues have been outstanding under Vern Cotter, absolutely aggressive and up front. They've just been dominant, really direct and really added that sharp edge to that physicality around the ruck and around the forwards especially. So, look, I think if the Brumbies want to really compete, they've got to compete at the set piece, challenge their line out, challenge their scrum, put them under a little bit of pressure. But in defence, they've just got to win collisions, so a huge defensive effort from the Brumbies is needed, especially up front.
Yeah, Kefs, last week we spoke with Sarah about the quarterfinals. You were 4 from 4. You know, what did you take out from these games?
Yeah, well, look, the Reds, the poor old Reds, they lasted until the ball was kicked off to start the game. It's all about this, like the key elements for each game, dominant up front, real dominant set piece. And if you can create momentum, that's more than half. You're more than halfway there. So that's the challenge for the Brumbies tonight, is to stop that Blues pack up front.
How do you get the competitive edge in semi-final football when you've done all the reviews? There's plenty of stats out there, and you're coming up against a team, for both teams really, where you just know so much about them. Are you changing anything during the week? Do you have something up your sleeve throughout the weeks before when you know you're going to probably finish in that certain position? What's your thoughts there?
Yeah, look, I think it comes down to the individual. Like, we know these players so much. We play against them year in, year out, week in, week out. So there's no special ingredient. And players or commentators, supporters maybe complicate it a little bit too much. You've got to have each player's got to have that mindset. All right, I'm coming out here. I'm going to absolutely dominate my opposition. You know, he runs the ball, I'm going to smash him. I'm going to win that collision, and then I'm just going to absolutely make it make that ruck or their ball an absolute cluster F, you know? So that's the mindset. And you probably don't worry about the score for an individual player. You go out there to try and bash your opposition. And that's the mindset. Execute when you got the ball. And it's simple as that. It's mindset, it's toughness, it's that attitude that you need.
So do you think that's why Stephen Larkham has probably gone with a 6-2 bench for the Brumbies, just around that individual battle, especially to be up front with the forwards around that cluster F that you're talking about, around the breakdown? I think he's just got a lot of on-ballers there.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And there's on-ballers coming off the bench. And you look at the other semi-final, they've gone for a 6-2 split as well. So coaches know the battle's up front. If you win that war up front in the trenches, set piece, collisions, and then that goes a long way for your team to win the game.
Hey, Kefs, I heard earlier this week that the Blues – move this game a few hours later because they didn't want to interfere with the Warriors being played at the same time. What are your thoughts on that?
I didn't hear that, T.
He messaged me this last, like, you know, early in the week. This is my question for Kev.
I didn't hear that. If that's true, that's disappointing. But, look, I think the Blues semi-final ticket in Auckland is a hot one. And I've been actually pretty surprised with the supporters who have turned up the last couple of games at Eden Park. I'm hoping to expect nearly a full house tonight at Eden Park.
Well, yeah. Don't be surprised if you see a few Warriors jerseys there because they're going to go straight from Mount Smart over to Eden Park and support the Blues. So.
Oh, that's what you want, just crossing over. Perfect. Players to look out for, I guess, for both teams. We'll start with the Blues and the Brumbies. Which of our Nesian stars are you looking forward to seeing and unleashing out there?
Well, there's a couple of players leaving at the end of this year, and Iwani is one of them. You know, he's drawn up 100 caps for the Blues now. I think the whole back row of Papali and Sotutu and Iwani's been outstanding. I think that's been the key for them this year. They've created or initiated that momentum behind the forward pack, the tight five. And the tight five's been absolutely unbelievable in the set piece this year. So those three, I'm really looking forward to. It's going to be a really good battle in the back row, actually, because I rate the Valentini and Kale also for the Brumbies. So I think that's your key matchup there. And then, as you mentioned, it's a 6-2 split. So there's going to be forwards coming off the bench trying to make an impact as well. For the Brumbies, I mentioned the back row. Look, Lolasie is going to be key here in the driving seat. If the Brumbies can conjure up a really strong set piece, especially at the scrum, because their scrum was poor last week, I thought, for the Brumbies, but their line out is outstanding. So if he can manage territory, play down the right parts of the field, I think Brumbies are in with a show. But look, I think Blues will be too good.
I was going to ask you that. If you're the Brumbies, do you play with or without the ball for most of the game?
I'd play without in the right parts of the field.
Just get it'd be wet over there, dewy on the ground, trying to turn them around.
And the Kiwis would have watered the field too overnight, and they would have said, "Oh, sorry, it's been rain. There's not a cloud in the sky."
Yeah.
So he goes, "Oh yeah, it just rained overnight. Sorry."
Oh, the games, the fun and games off the field. How good. And for the Hurricanes, Omua, the hooker, he came back from his injury. Geez, he was outstanding in that quarterfinal game. But who are the players are you looking forward to seeing?
Again, I've been a big fan of Peter Lakai, but Lotse last week was outstanding, I thought. So I'm looking forward to him backing up. That Chiefs back row, Finau, Satiti and Jacobson, the All Black, I think it's going to be another battle of the back row. It's two sides that can attack well. So they're going to get a chance. I think this game will come down to defence. Who's going to be more disciplined? Who's going to win collisions? So because the attack will look after itself for both these teams.
If you had to tip one, who are you tipping? Because whoever you're picking, that's who I'm picking in the our knockout.
You know, I was going to go Hurricanes the whole way, but after what the Chiefs did to the Reds last week, and some of their key players are turning up at the right time. Samisoni, the hooker, I thought he was outstanding last week. The back row of Finau and Satiti, Jacobson, outstanding. And D-Mac driving the ship. I don't know. It's going to be a close game. I'm going to have to probably, if I go with the momentum, I'd probably have to go by Chiefs for a couple of points, I think.
Ooh, we're going to actually flip a coin because it is a tight one because it's in Wellington. Great matchup. I'm looking forward to that Omoa and Samsoni matchup at hooker. Oh, hey, mate, the last time they played, it was 20-17 to the Hurricanes over in Hamilton. So this one's tight. This one's tight.
Do you think this is the grand final or the Blues are pretty strong as well?
Well, if the Blues get the job done pretty easy against the Brumbies, say they come out, I think the winner comes from that one, from the Blues, because this will be a tough battle.
Home ground advantage means so much in the finals. I mean, it means a lot in the regular season, but in the finals, it's an extra. It's a converted try, I reckon, and that's why I think Hurricanes and Chiefs. They're playing at the cake tin. So, yeah, it's a tough one. I just don't know, actually. But the way the Chiefs played last week and the way their key players are playing in the last couple of weeks, I think, it's going to be a really close game. Could come down to one single moment. Could come down to goal kicking. It'd be an interesting game.
All right, sweet. Well, I think, are you thinking the Chiefs... Or we're going to flip that coin.
We'll flip the coin, mate.
We'll flip the coin. All right, perfect. Kev, another game happening over in Fiji, the Fijiana team.
Outstanding. And Thumu, I thought she's been outstanding this year, and she missed the last couple of games because of injury for the draw in the Super Women's competition. But I think I read she's captaining, so... I dare say the Japanese girls are going to find her quite a handful.
Yeah, in the midfield, she'll be a powerhouse running through there, running those short lines from line out and scrum. So, yeah, they'll play against Japan tonight in Suva. And as you said, Meruwa Thumu will be the captain. So, big love out to the Fijiana 15 team over there. But, Kev, have you got anything else for us? I know you've got your ear close to the ground.
I think the Wallaby squad, I think they are starting to train over the next week or so. So I'll find out some. I'm going in to have lunch with them in the next couple of weeks. So I'll get the inside word. Eh?
Okay. Beauty. Well, before you go, I just want to ask you on that, the Bolters and some of the big names that missed out because obviously heading over to the league, Mark Nawanga Nitawase. What's your thoughts on him not being selected? And there is rumours he's going to the Olympics for sevens. And there was other rumours that June 30 deadline, they were almost looking for a swap for the Roosters because he wasn't selected. But anyway, it's just some big rumours.
Allegedly.
Alleged. But yeah, would you have had him in the team?
Yeah, look, I'm a big fan of big backs with, I like the long levers, you know, legs, arms.
All right, beautiful, mate. Well, you get that inside word come back to us next week with the good oil.
I will.
Beautiful.
I will. Too easy, Kev.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate your time.
All right, boys.
Shh. Quiet, boys and girls. It's Professor Paulo.
Last week, me and Sarah both got Professor Paulo's question wrong. So this is our segment where...
What was it?
It was, who won the competition, the Super Rugby competition before the Crusaders won that seven in a row?
Oh, the Hurricanes.
Yeah, it was the Canes, because I went Chiefs, she went the Blues, and we forgot the Canes were in there. So.
Yeah, mate, easy question, would have got that, would have been up.
But yeah, if you're new to our show, this is where we get Professor Paulo to ask us a question. We've kept the score over the season. The score is, I'm on 4.5. Sammy, you're on 7.
Ooh, yes.
And at the end of the season, someone will be shouting someone a fancy lunch. So let's kick on with the next question.
As it's the NRL Beanie Rail supporting the Mark Hughes Foundation, and all teams will be wearing beanies, I thought I'd make the question about the Newcastle Knights. Who is Newcastle Knights all-time top try scorer and he's Fijian?
See, that was close, hey?
Aku Yuate.
Oh, I was going to go the same one too.
Were you?
Yeah.
You're a liar.
No, it was because, do you know why? Because he's doing the walk with him. So that's why it would have come up.
I just said it because that's the answer.
Is that how you say his first name though?
Or is it Tamana Tahu? Maybe it's Tamana. No, you should go Tamana.
No, no. Is that how you say his first
Aquila.
Name? Aquila. Yeah, I thought so. It's Aquila Uwate.
Spell Aquila.
It's A-Q-U-I-L-A.
The answer is, and the reason why I'm doing the big free trick, Aquila the Thriller Uwate.
What do you reckon, 1 point each? Yeah, 1 point
each. Yeah, 1 point each. Yeah, sweet.
All right, let's go to knockout tipping.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
Yes, this is our knockout tipping time. We pick one team each week from the NRL and Super Rugby, and you can't pick them again. Sarah got me 2 from 2 last week. Beautiful, Sarah. That's why you're my replacement in the rugby world.
Did I get 0-2?
You were 0-2. So we've closed the gap here. When's Sarah on again next? Hopefully. Because Toops, your cousin, keeps doing me over. So there's a bit of chat happening between you two before you come in the show.
I think Toops is on next Friday too.
I'm going to cancel him in there. Get Sarah back on. But anyway, let's go. We'll start with Super Rugby. The final two games.
So we have to pick one game and then we'll pick a team from
the
that 50, game.
50
what
game.
What are we going to do when the rugby's over? Just stick
to
league?
No, there's test match footy, mate. There's plenty of test match. Kick back. You know the test match arena where rugby league struggles in?
All right, so let's go with it's either the Blues versus Brumbies or Hurricanes versus Chiefs.
The closest one will have to be the Hurricanes Chiefs because I think the Blues.
At least you
want
to take the Brumbies.
Nah, no way. Not at Eden Park. Not 0-17. I know Todai says the players don't read into the history of it or not to, but.
Are you going Canes? We do. All right, are you going Canes or Chiefs then?
Coin toss?
Coin toss, yep. Whoever wins the coin toss will get the Canes.
All right, sweet. Hair, what are you going to call it?
You know what? I'm a bit of a risk taker. I'll go the Chiefs.
You going to go Chiefs?
I'm going Chiefs. Oh, actually, do I go Chiefs or Brumbies? Ooh, Brumbies, are they a chance?
They got one chance and that's no chance.
Oh, I'm going Chiefs. I'm going Chiefs.
All right, perfect. I chose tails anyway, so
No, it doesn't matter.
I'm going to go the Hurricanes at home. There we go. We finally got there. How hard was that, T?
Chiefs worth 1.5 points.
Yeah, no. Anyway, let's
wrap it up.
Let's go to league. Who are we choosing?
League.
Yeah, we've got to choose league. Who are you choosing?
It's getting pretty tough. We've picked 14 teams, so we've only got 3 teams we can pick this week. So, Sammy, you can pick the Tigers at home to beat the Titans.
That's my game.
Or Rabbitohs to beat the Broncos.
Ooh.
Or the Eels to beat the Roosters.
Ooh. All right, I'm going to take a risk like you did with Union. I'm going to go to the Tigers at Leichhardt to beat the Titans. They're due for a win.
At Leichhardt?
Yeah.
Is it at Leichhardt?
At Leichhardt Oval. Good record there.
Yeah, great record. All right. Don't ask me that. My choices are Tigers to beat Titans, Cowboys to beat the Raiders, and Warriors to beat the Storm. I'm going to go the Warriors to beat the Storm because it just seems like it's vibing in New Zealand at the moment with all their Super Rugby teams in the finals. Warriors are coming off the back of 3 wins straight and they're playing at home, so I believe that they will get the job done against the Storm.
That's a big call. Be a packed house at Mount Smart.
Mount Smart, yep. And yep. The other Super Rugby game is played
Eden
tonight
Park,
at Eden Park where the Brumbies will take on the Blues, but that's us done for another episode of Neesian Footy Fridays. Remember, you can listen back to our Monday and Friday shows.
Just search for Neesian Footy
wherever you get your podcasts.
God bless.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.